Hello, everyone. I'm Alan Wenzel, and I'd like to welcome you to the October 17th, 2024 episode of FreePod. As always, we are proud to bring you this short weekly podcast with the help of a large volunteer group dedicated to providing objective news that's specific to our community.
Hi, Alan. I'm Lynn Fever, and we want to remind you that any photos, phone numbers, website addresses in this podcast can always be found in the print version on the FreePod website at freepod.org, which you can also get to now from our Facebook page. So let's get started on the news you've been missing. After much work behind the scenes, a $550,000 community development block grant was awarded to the city of Freeport from the Illinois Affordable Housing Trust Fund. These funds were available to low to moderate income residents to improve their owner-occupied single-family homes. While other properties are also in line to be approved, the council approved the rehabilitation of the first home on Center Street, with work including electrical renovation, new windows, stair replacement, and more. Community and Economic Development Director Wayne Duckman said, "Though the application period for this particular grant has wrapped up, we look forward to continuing to find unique ways to help residents improve their properties." And in more city news, the council approved improvements to the viaduct at Shawnee and Hancock. Improvements include replacing the water main and storm sewer and lowering the road by 2.5 feet so that semi-truck traffic and safety equipment can enter the arcade area from this location more easily. The project is expected to be completed by May of 2025. The council also approved a grant of almost $16,000 for the Freeport Police Department to replace old tasers. And in more department news, Chief Chris Schenberger presented an award of valor to Patrolman Daniel Moore for his bravery and professionalism during the September 4 high-pressure scenario at the Hosmer Apartments. Among many actions taken that day, Moore was able to carefully remove a woman from a threatening situation with an armed individual. Good work, Officer Moore.
As winter approaches, street work continues around the city of Freeport, with these three current projects scheduled for completion by year-end. First of all, replacement of lead service lines on West Avenue, moving south from Galena Avenue to Empire Street, should be completed around November 13th. Secondly, finishing work, including road pavement on Adams Avenue, from Exchange to Float, will be completed by Thanksgiving, and waterline infrastructure and paving on Ridge Drive and Westwood Avenue will continue through December. Three important reminders. Once again, the city asks you to observe and obey signage with great caution. Remember, road closed signs mean just that. Please give work crews the proper space and safety to work. Ignoring road closed signs could mean injury, project delays, and more. Secondly, a reminder, construction areas will be reopened at the end of each day. That's so residents are able to pull in and out of their driveways. But thirdly, remember, always slow down when maneuvering construction zones. Delays are always possible. Now, if you have any questions about current street projects, please refer to the City of Freeport's Facebook page or call City Hall at 815-235-8200.
Business has been brisk at the county clerk's office with early voting. As of earlier this week, County Clerk Jasmine Wingert said about 2,200 people have already cast their ballots for the November election. For comparison, that's about 11% of the total number of folks who voted in the 2020 election. The majority of the early votes so far have been mail-in ballots, but the polling place at the lower level of the Stewart Center, 50 West Douglas, has also been busy. Early voting continues Monday through Friday from 8:30 to 4:30 p.m. at the Stewart Center.
We're sorry to report that Little Cubs Field, a replica of Wrigley Field on Empire Street, was recently burglarized. According to the facility's Vice President, Denny Garkey, illegal entrants broke a window to gain entry, emptied the cash register and donation jars, and stole food and drinks. Now, Garkey said the field's board will soon meet to discuss enhanced security and is currently working with the Freeport Police Department to review security camera footage from a nearby business. Little Cubs Field is one of Freeport's most popular tourist attractions, attracting thousands of visitors every year.
FHN is holding a series of public flu shot clinics throughout Northwest Illinois, and the full schedule can be found on their website, fhn.org. Adults under age 65 will get a vaccine that protects against three strains of influenza for $35, while those 65 and older will receive a high-dose version of the vaccine for $85, though there is no out-of-pocket cost for those covered by Medicare Part B or the Medicare HMO accepted by FHN. So bring your Medicare or Medicare HMO card to the event. If you're paying directly, please bring cash or a check payable to FHN, as no credit or debit cards will be accepted. You'll also need a photo ID.
As we have mentioned in earlier podcasts, October is Medicare Open Enrollment Month. To provide you with a personalized, specific Medicare advice, the Freeport Public Library will be hosting Josh Smith from Medicare 411 for a free informative discussion on Thursday, October 24th at 10 a.m. Josh will be available to answer questions on Tuesday, October 22nd and 29th from 11 to 3 at a table in the library hallway. There's no registration required for these free events.
And hey, Freeport Community Concerts are back. The Freeport Community Concerts Association has brought varied, mostly classical music to Freeport for the past 91 years, making it the longest-running community concert series in the country. The first concert of the season was by Alliance Brass, and the next concert is scheduled for Saturday, October 26th at the Masonic Temple on West Stevenson in downtown. Freepod and Timbuktu host Becky Connors recently visited with longtime concert supporter Marjorie Phillips. Here it is.
Hello, this is a Timbuktu interview, and this is Becky Connors, and today I'm with my dear friend, one of my favorite people, Marjorie Phillips. Hello, Marjorie.
Hello, Becky. It's such a treat to be with you.
Well, thank you. It's wonderful to be in your lovely home. Marjorie is involved in lots of things that make Freeport a better place, but today we're talking about Freeport Community Concerts, and in particular, Marjorie made a pretty exciting announcement at the last concert, which was wonderful, that all future Freeport Community Concerts will be free. So why don't you tell us about that a little bit, Marjorie?
Well, I'm pretty excited about this. Community Concerts was started in Freeport in 1932, so we've been around for a long time.
Yes.
We've had people buying tickets. We've had people contributing to us. And because of that and our spending our money wisely, we have quite a bit of money in our treasury. And we also have such things as we own the Steinway, 9-foot Steinway grand piano, which is at the Masonic Temple. A group of us pitched in and bought that for the community a good many years ago. And at the age of 97, I have decided, well, we, the board has decided that the accumulation in the treasury should be shared and spent in Freeport. It was Freeport money that it's Freeport people that provided the money and provided the support. And therefore, it was decided by the group that we will start using what is in our treasury and what other assets we have to bring concerts to Freeport, and they are free to the community.
And that is wonderful. And I mean, they've always been very reasonably priced, I know. As a matter of fact, I know that because my mom took me to community concerts when I was a little girl, probably 8 years old. I think we started coming to it. And I think that affected me for the rest of my life. But I know they've always been reasonable. So now the fact that they're free means there's no excuse. Everybody should be coming to them. The first concert you had was just fabulous. The Alliance Brass, the first concert just a couple weeks ago. That was a great concert. And I know the next concert's very soon, October 26th, Saturday at 3 o'clock. Can you tell us about that concert?
Well, I'm pretty excited about this. This is about two solo pianists. They both have their doctorates, and they are a Korean couple, Joon-hee Han and Haejin Cho. And Haejin is teaching at Wheaton College this year, and Joon-hee is teaching at another college this year. And we decided that a lovely concert would be four hands at one piano.
And no, it will be fun to watch as well as fun to listen to, as always, but it'll be neat to see them sitting there together sharing a piano.
It'll be an eye-opener for those of you who grew up in a family with a piano and brothers and sisters where you both sat down at the piano and played duets. This will be quite some duet playing.
Not the heart and soul duets that some of us played as children, though. So.
Well, you never know, but well, I think most of it will be pretty pretty classical music, and it'll be amazing quality.
Well, that sounds great. And that, again, is Saturday, October 26th at 3 p.m., and all the concerts are at the Masonic Temple, which is such a beautiful place to have concerts. The acoustics, everything about it is great.
Well, you know, Rockford doesn't have anything to compare. The acoustics in Rockford just cannot compare with what we have at the Masonic Temple.
Well, we are lucky.
Yes, and then, we are.
We are in lots of ways. Yeah. And then there'll be more concerts in the spring, which have not been scheduled yet, but you know what at least one of them is going to be.
Well, I know definitely one of them will be my granddaughter, who is a professional violinist in Boston. And she is a violinist that does classical, fiddle, all kinds of violin, and is in great demand in Boston. And her husband, who, Julia has her, went to Oberlin and then got her musical degrees at New England Conservatory.
Impressive.
And her husband is a graduate from Oberlin also in jazz piano. So I'm kind of excited about this one. I don't really know what to expect, except I expect quality. And I'm looking forward to when they can work out the time for coming here, and you will all be notified.
Well, that sounds great. I'm sure it'll be a wonderful concert with an interesting mix of styles.
It'll be interesting, fun, and please come. Bring your friends.
Bring your friends. Bring your friends to every concert. It's free. Bring your children. Bring your family. Bring anybody, because they're free and they are really wonderful. Speaking as somebody who attends them regularly, they're fabulous. So thank you for talking with us today, Marjorie. And thank you for making sure that Freeport Community Concerts is such a vital part of our community. We're really lucky to have you, and we're lucky to have the concerts.
Becky, we're so lucky to have you and Tim Buck, too. I love the name. Oh,
well, thank you very much. All righty. So this has been a Tim Buck, too interview, and thank you, Marjorie, very much.
Thanks, Becky. And how great it is that all future concerts are planned to be free. So to support your concert efforts, join the audience at the concert and let your family know and your friends know about them. You can find out more at the Freeport Community Concerts Association on Facebook.
The City of Freeport held its inaugural photo contest in August and early September, inviting all residents and photographers to show off their beautiful views of our community. This year's winner is Eli Michael, with his photo of a vintage car in front of the historic Wagner House building. Congratulations, Eli, and thanks to all who participated. We look forward to next year. Check out Eli's winning photo entry by viewing the transcript of this week's podcast on our website.
Congressman Eric Sorensen is now accepting applications from high school students in the 17th Congressional District for nomination to a U.S. Service Academy for the fall 2025 term. The deadline for application is Friday, November 1. Sorensen will nominate qualified high school students from the district for attendance at one of four U.S. Service Academies, West Point, the Naval Academy in Annapolis, the Air Force Academy in Colorado Springs, and the U.S. Merchant Marine Academy in Kings Point, New York. According to Sorensen, these institutions shape our future leaders. He said, "I'm excited to help our local high school students take this path to prepare for a career of service as an officer in the U.S. military." Interested applicants should visit Congressman Sorensen's website to learn more about the process, the documents required for nomination, and to get an application packet. That's online, sorensen.house.gov.
The YMCA of Northwest Illinois is still seeking volunteers for their Run Stevenson County race this Saturday, October 19th, starting at 8 a.m. Volunteers are needed for water stations and turnarounds from 7 a.m. to noon. Now, these roles are crucial to the safe operation of the race, which will be held at the Richland Creek Trailhead in Orangeville. Now, volunteers can find out more about the positions that still need staffing, and they can sign up by going to www.runsignup.com and searching for Stevenson County Run event on that website. So if you have some time on Saturday, October 19th, join the YMCA of Northwest Illinois as a volunteer for their Run Stevenson County race.
Another session of the Beginning Birder Club series, taught by Northwest Illinois Audubon Society's Juliet Mottero, will be this Saturday, October 19th at 10:30 at the Public Library. This is a fun, educational program for youth ages 6 through 10 to learn about birds. The topics include bird songs, migration patterns, feeders, how nests are built, and much more. All the sessions are independent from each other, so you can attend any or all the sessions that fit your schedule. They're held at the library on the third Saturday of the month. That's third Saturday, bird Saturday. Classes begin indoors, but weather permitting will end outdoors, so please dress appropriately, and note that kids must have an adult attending with them. While the sessions are entirely free, please register in advance so that we have enough materials for everyone. You can register online at the library's website or by contacting Mottero at nwilaudubon@gmail.com.
Looking for a scary good time to start off your Halloween celebrations? Well, then you might want to plan to visit the Amity Learning Center Haunted House from 7 to 9 p.m. this Saturday, October 19th at 511 South Liberty Avenue. The cost is $5 a person. Amity staff and volunteers have completely transformed the hallways of the King Community Campus into an apocalypse-themed event that will feature zombies and a lot of other scary surprises. Staff member Jordan Lamp says the spooky haunted house should be appropriate for kids age 8 years and older, and noted that at no time during their visit to the haunted house will any guests be touched or grabbed by the spooky displays. Now, Amity has held a haunted house every Halloween for about 15 years to raise funds for teacher appreciation and miscellaneous expenses at the daycare center. If you'd like to volunteer to work in the haunted house or help with final touches, you can always do that by calling Amity at 815-233-0015. And they're also accepting donations if you'd like to contribute to the effort. Again, that phone number at Amity, 233-0015. Join the Haunted House on Saturday, October 19th from 7 to 9 p.m.
And there's quite a lot of other great Halloween events coming in the next week in Freeport. Here's some of the highlights. First, the Train of Terror, hosted by the Stevenson County Antique Engine Club, will be tearing up the tracks both this Saturday, October 19, and next Saturday, the 26th. You can board the train on South Walnut Road at 6, 7, 8, or 9 p.m., and there's no advance ticket sales. All tickets are $10. Here's a couple more exciting events. Next Saturday, October 26th, kids and families can enjoy two more spectacular spooky scenes with Bootiful Saturday in downtown Freeport and the Trick or Treat Trail at Crepe Park. On Bootiful Saturday, Costumed kids and their families can head downtown to enjoy Halloween with local businesses. The Lindo Theater will have a 10 in the morning free showing of the movie Scoob, when Scooby-Doo and the gang face a plot to unleash a ghost dog on the world. And after the movie, everyone can enjoy trick-or-treating at over 30 downtown stores until 1:30 in the afternoon. And if that morning doesn't get you enough treats, the trick-or-treat trail at Crepe Park should do it. From 3 to 6 in the afternoon, this festive, safe, family-friendly event begins at the carousel in the park and trails through the park so you can stock up on more treats from local businesses and service organizations. The route is stroller-friendly, and dogs are welcome too, whether they're in costume or not. And then, for the big day itself, trick-or-treat in Freeport will fall on Halloween evening, Thursday the 31st, from 5 to 7 p.m. Have a good time, all you ghosts and goblins.
As we look to the week ahead, please note the following. Fall leaf pickup within the city of Freeport begins November 1st. And remember, only leaves, folks. No sticks or branches are to be raked to the curb. Just leaves. Secondly, Voice's first annual Domestic Violence Awareness Pickleball Tournament will be held this Saturday, October 19th at the Crepe Park Pickleball Courts in Freeport at 10 a.m. Spectators are encouraged to come out and root for the players and the cause. Thirdly, an historical tidbit for this week. 155 years ago, on October 19, 1869, the cornerstone of the Civil War Soldiers Monument was laid. Standing on the corner of Stevenson Street and Galena Avenue, it was the first monument raised in the United States to honor servicemen of the American Civil War. And finally, if you're looking for something to do this week or any week, visit the Greater Freeport Partnership website at greaterfreeport.com and click on weekly events. When you do that, you'll get a comprehensive listing of all the fun events and activities throughout Stevenson County. And you can also subscribe to the Greater Freeport Partnership newsletter, which is free every week.
In closing, we want to remind you, or to let you know, that soon we'll be posting on our website some great photos of the Northern Lights in the Freeport area. They're spectacular. And we also wanted to remind you that this week's in-depth interview, which is available now on our website and through our new Facebook page, was host Tim Connors speaking with the Freeport High School head football coach, Anthony Dedmond, and the assistant football coach, Coach Marty Sellers. Next week's interview will be Freepod and Timbuktu host Becky Connors speaking with Joe and Jennifer Konoski about the effort to ensure the future of the 105-year-old tabernacle at the Park District's Oakdale Nature Preserve just south of town. Their conversation will post at noon next Tuesday, the 21st. And with that, time's up for this week, but tune in again next week for more of the news you've been missing. As we say each week, Freepod couldn't come to you without the help of many others. We're especially appreciative for the assistance of the Mass Communication Department at Highland College, and we're also grateful to WNIJ and Northern Public Radio in DeKalb for partnering with us in reaching even more listeners in Northwest Illinois. And of course, here's a big shout-out to our many liaisons, reporters, and editors for the time they volunteer to bring the news to you. Thank you, Team Freepod. And if you have story suggestions or would like to make a tax-deductible contribution to support our efforts, please visit our website at freepod.org. Again, I'm Lynn Fever, here with Alan Wenzel, and we hope you'll check back next week for more of the news that you've been missing. Thanks for listening.